Georgie Crawford, and I'm a health coach.
And I'm Claire Solan, and I'm a life coach.
On Soul Sisters, we get together to navigate the challenges that life throws our way by sharing the wisdom we've learned and, most importantly, having a laugh.
The Soul Sisters podcast is a Good Glow production brought to you with thanks to Colgate, the number one toothpaste brand in Ireland and the world.
We've partnered with Colgate because they are the champions of optimism. They inspire and empower people to be the hero of their own lives. They are committed to improving oral health and believe that everyone deserves a future to smile about.
Colgate says our smile is our strength, and we agree. So all this season on Soul Sisters, we're sharing our reasons to smile. Well, how are you? How's it going?
Hello.
Hello and welcome to Soul Sisters. This is episode 7.
I cannot believe how fast the time is going. I cannot believe it's nearly July and it's still freezing in Ireland.
You are up to your gonads in hay fever, but it's absolutely freezing. The injustice.
So how's things going?
Now listen, I was at home in our Fair Isle for the weekend, and you were actually in Bristol, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting. We crossed over and we were repping each other in different countries this weekend. I was on my retreat, which was set in the rolling green hills of Kildare. And I spent a couple of days in a field with 10 people.
Okay.
Which, you know, I know what you're thinking, Soul Sisters. For some of you, that is your worst nightmare. We were camping. Yep.
In a tent.
Camping in bell tents. So there was a girl's tent and a boy's tent. And so what Keenan and David, who are the two lads who are running the retreat, have is kind of a really nice outdoor setup. They have what they call a roundhouse, which they use for meditation, breathing, sitting in circle. And then they have this kind of outdoor, indoor barbecue dining area where we sat and had our meals. And then there's a little fire pit area where we all sat around in the evenings and, you know, got to know each other.
And when you go on retreats like that, do you feel like different when you come back?
Yes. Now, I'm going to talk about this positively, and then I'm just going to give you the one bad thing that nearly threw me off balance.
Okay.
But it was nothing to do with the retreat. So what I love about retreats like this, and I've been on a few of them, including heading to India, is when you gather in a group. I know that your first, maybe our first, like, feelings and thoughts on this is like, oh, we go back to the schoolyard and we're like, oh, I have to make new friends, orcs, like, I just want to do my own thing. And there is, of course, a possibility to do that. Like, there's quiet time available all the time at retreats. You know, people are happy to see you leave a conversation and pick up a book and go and sit somewhere. But what I love about them, for me anyway, is I will always end up having the conversations I need to have in life with the person I need to have it with. I don't know how it happens. It's a miraculous thing. The universe is in charge. But I always meet people who've gone through the same thing or can give me a perspective that I need. Like, I'll meet a 60-year-old woman who can be my mother in this situation, or a man who can be my dad, or a female who has either gone through one of the challenges I've faced or is right there with me in it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what happened this weekend.
And I feel like whenever you're kind of doing the work, one thing will come up. Did that happen for you? And was the thing that came up unexpected?
Yeah, I guess it was. But looking back on it now, I'm really pleased that one thing came up. So it was men. Interestingly enough, at these retreats, usually I find there's more women at them than men. But on this occasion, there was the balance tipped the other way and there was more fellas. And there was not just fellas, but there was lovely, lovely fellas. Now, not like, I'm not rubbing my knees here, I fancy the fellas. They were just a great example of masculine energy. Kind, respectful, gentlemen, you know, who were rushing over to help if somebody needed something carried, or, you know, sitting down beside you, like really inquisitive and curious, wanting to get to know you. And, you know, just also building fires. Sexy. And, you know, just doing man stuff. But I felt, and I actually brought it up when we were sitting in circle after meditation, David Ford, who was running the retreat, said, is there anything going on for anybody? Is there anything that you would like to bring up? And I just said, yeah, like one of the things that I wanted to really focus on is the fact that I haven't had very positive experiences with men. And I have, because of the way that I was, because I, before I started really doing my self-development and healing, I was in a place where I was broken. So I was attracting broken people to me. I was drinking, I was out socializing, I was looking for parties and party animals, and I got them. And everyone knows party animals, you know, varying degrees of giving a shit about people. Just the party is what they're most, you know, most keen on. So for me now, in order to change and attract the right person, I've gone deep, I'm doing the work, and what's popping up around me, and I think I've said this before on the pod, is just really good examples of men.
So that just shows you that you're on the path, the right one.
Yeah. Holy matrimony is around the corner.
So tell us about the one thing that you said didn't go right for you.
Oh, girls and boys, flying is not what it used to be. I have sat and watched on the BBC app, me news app. I've watched the last couple of weeks and all of the regional airports have been delayed. People heading off in their little half terms from the UK here to go off, you know, to sunnier climes, wait, lying on the floor of airports for hours on end. And I thought to myself, I should be clear of that by now. Like, it should be fine. Uh-uh. Delayed leaving Gatwick, going to Dublin, and absolutely delayed leaving Dublin, getting back to Gatwick. Like, delayed to the point where, like, there's not even a word. Like, the flight that I was due to be on, the time came and went.
And yeah.
There wasn't even, like, staff members in any way concerned about it. It's like it's just normal now. No flights take off on time.
I thought this when I was getting into bed last night. Like, the post-COVID world is like, first of all, every man for himself. And second of all, like, you just have to put up with whatever you get.
Yes.
I went to a wedding in Bristol, my cousin Andrea's wedding, which was fabulous. Now, on the way out, my mum needed to check in a bag. So we got a text from Ryanair to say, you need to be in the airport 3.5 hours before your flight.
Mother of God.
So off we go all together to the airport. We check in our bag and we walk through security in about 3.5 minutes. So then we had 3 hours and 15 minutes to go. So anyway, I went off, found a little corner, had a bit of work to do. Actually, I had hay fever and I was sitting beside this man, you know, at one of the high tables that you can work at with like plugs and things.
Yeah.
And I was sneezing and I turned around to him and I was like, oh my God, I actually have hay fever. Like, I don't have COVID. And he just goes, I don't care. I don't care. And I was like, okay, cool. I don't care about COVID either, but I just, you know. So then on the way home, Father's Day on Sunday,
yes.
I was like, I'm going to get home on Saturday nice and early. There was a really cheap Ryanair flight in the evening. And I said, you know what? I'm going to treat myself to that nice and early Aer Lingus one, which meant that I had to pay £100 in a taxi to get to the airport and £100 for the flight.
Ooh.
Right. I get to the airport at 10. My flight's at 12:45. And I was still walking around that airport at 6:30.
No. No.
Write my book. I'm so glad I brought my laptop.
Laptop on the hip, walking in and out of departures.
Do you know what I noticed? And I was thinking about you, Claire. Solo traveling. Solo traveling when you've to spend 8 hours in an airport means every time you stand up to either go to the bathroom or the shop, you have to find a new seat.
Yes. You have to bring your stuff with you.
Yes.
Or always ask that awkward question to the person who sits beside you. Would you mind keeping an eye on my bag?
And which is not appropriate in an airport.
Absolutely not. Exactly. So you see their face and their face kind of crumples a little bit, like, for crying out loud, solo traveler, just take it to the bathroom.
So I must have had, I'd say, no exaggeration, 15 different seats throughout the day. I was demented. Now, I get a bit nervous traveling. So when things start to play out a bit like a movie, yes, I start to get really nervous that I'm going to die.
Oh, babes.
So we eventually get loaded onto a bus at 6:30.
A bus?
And then we couldn't find one of the passengers.
Oh.
And everyone, then there started to be a bit of crack, right? There was these two lads on the plane that were really funny. And they were like, leave him. We don't care.
If he can't make his flight after 6 hours, leave him.
So we left him basically, right? And then it was a really tiny plane, you know, the really tiny plane. So
yes,
I was already kind of freaked about getting on one.
Oh.
And then these black clouds come over Bristol and it starts like pouring rain. So we're on this bus, we get to the plane, and like something out of a film, we decide amongst ourselves to load onto the plane one by one. So, you know, in Speed, the movie, when they're taking the people off the bus and it's like, go.
Yes.
And then you wait for the next person, go.
That's what it was like.
So I get onto the plane. I was like saying the rosary. We got up and we bounced home. We bounced home.
Oh, God.
And I actually wrote, I did my best writing on the flight.
Did you? In the turbulence and everything?
In the turbulence. So I was like, maybe I need to take my little laptop down to Tato Park,
bang out a few chapters,
because I couldn't believe how much I got done on that bouncy flight.
Interesting.
So anyway, I got home. Pia was there when I arrived home.
Oh.
Got home for Father's Day. But as you can see, I'm wrecked. So we both had very interesting journeys home. And what did it teach you, Claire?
Well, the one thing I did realize when I was camping in the big bell tent and waking up every 20 minutes because it was prison, it reminded me of my electric picnic years. And I realized I'm absolutely done with festivals, right? Anyone out there who is close to me and who is thinking about suggesting a festival to me, don't. Okay? I always thought, I had this dream, like this fantasy that I would go to Glastonbury. And I'm working with Nick Grimshaw at the moment. And Nick Grimshaw used to be a presenter on Radio 1. Like, he's, you know, been on The X Factor. He's a proper celeb over here.
Give us one sentence about Nick Grimshaw. A little takeaway for us.
Nick Grimshaw is the biggest star. He is the guy. Nick Grimshaw is the man with the most star quality I've ever worked with.
Huge.
And I'll tell you why. Because Nick Grimshaw is naturally funny. He's naturally charismatic. And he is exactly the same on camera and on mic as he is off.
Fabulous. That's all we need to know. Sorry, continue.
Back on track. So Nick Grimshaw was on set last week and he was like, yeah, I'm going to Glastonbury. And I was kind of listening in. Because again, like, if you're working in close proximity to stars, you're like, you never know. One day they might turn around and say, I've got a spare ticket and it's VIP. Unfortunately, Nick didn't on this occasion. But he did talk about the fact that he was going to get a helicopter into Glastonbury.
Wow.
So in my mind, I was like, see, that's the way you do it. That's the way you do festivals. Let me just pull back the curtain a little bit on my electric picnic experience, okay? No matter who's playing or who I'm with, I have always faked having fun at festivals. Oh, cool. LCD sound system. We're playing at the main stage at 8 o'clock. Couldn't give a monkeys. Let's dress up and go to Trench Town and drink rum cocktails. Rather watch paint dry. After party in the woods, lads.
Oh, God.
Rather check out the crack in the medical tent. Never again will you catch me. And like I was being in a spiritual moment in my bell tent in Kildare at the weekend, I thought, imagine this was EP, where you're waking up with a foggy head, a hangover. All you can hear is madness going on outside the tent, which has been going on all night. You're thinking, I'm never going to get a shower. And all I need to do is use the loo. I'm never going to get there.
What I learned in the 8 hours of Bristol Airport is that
even though it was chaotic,
there was people everywhere. There was kids screaming. There was police. It was like everyone's flights were getting cancelled. I was like, maybe I need this break.
It felt like a break.
I was like, maybe I need this day to myself, you know, of just being by myself.
Yes. And also, in a position like you were in, right, on your own, did you feel like, God, I've actually come a long way? Because maybe in times gone by, all of the chaos and the madness of other people around you would have really disturbed you.
Yes. I didn't let that in.
That's amazing. That's, you know, you've made progress when that happens. Netflix.
I've written out my favourite bit from the J-Lo documentary.
Oh my God, you've like written it.
I cried.
I love her.
It's huge. So I put out on Instagram during the week that Soul Sisters should check out J-Lo's halftime show on Netflix. And it's about her road to the Super Bowl halftime show. Mm. I was flooded with messages back from people who were watching it or started watching it. And it too, I said to Jamie, this has had a profound effect on me.
Yes.
And he was like, oh, has it? And I was like, he doesn't get it because he's a man. He just really doesn't get it.
Yes.
And not, through no fault of his own. He just really enjoyed it. But it didn't get in on him the way it did on me.
Tell me.
So before I get into it, a little spoiler, if you haven't seen it, it's not a big spoiler, like it happened. Mm. But she didn't get nominated for an Oscar and she was really disappointed that she didn't get the nomination. And it made me think about anybody with a dream, anybody with a passion, anyone out there every day doing their best, you know?
Yeah.
And you may not feel like you're being rewarded in the way you deserve.
Yes.
But this is something to remember. She said, I do this not for an award or to be the best performer in the world. I do this to tell stories, to affect change, and to connect with people and make them feel things. Because I want to feel something. That's why I do it. Because I actually want to make the world a better place in my own little way. At the end of the day, when somebody meets you, they don't say, oh my God, you have 12 Grammys. They say, oh my God, that song you wrote made me feel and got me through. She said, I'm going to keep working. I'm going to be unafraid to use my voice in the best way I can.
Oh my God.
And that lesson that she has given to the world is better than any Oscar nomination.
150%. That documentary, I clicked onto Netflix on that same night that you sent me that story. You added me and said, watch it. I had watched it. I clicked on and I was in the middle of watching, thanks to you, Ryan Reynolds and Dave Letterman, which is just brilliant. So worth a watch. And I was like, oh, maybe I'll go back into that and I'll watch that. And then I'll watch some more of Dave Letterman's interviews. And there was J-Lo, resplendent on the front page of Netflix. And I was like, I hear you. I hear the call. I hear you barking, big dog. I'm coming for you. Half time. And so obviously then you do the deep dive into her world and when this was recorded. So A-Rod was still around, obviously, when she started recording this.
Didn't get much of a look in, did he?
Didn't get a look in. But did you see Ben Affleck? He was parachuted in for that one talking head. And I was like, oh, that was put in after this was finished, 150%.
So I was disappointed that the media took the one thing she said about Shakira. She said, she didn't even say it about Shakira. She said there shouldn't be two performers, and they pitted them against each other.
Yes.
And they made the whole thing about that. And that's not actually what she was saying at all.
Yes. That really annoyed me. And I would like, Soul Sisters, for you this week as a little bit of homework to have a look at how the media pits women against each other. Look at the Agatha Christie thing. Mm. It's everybody's favourite fight is women against women. Yeah.
Look at Amber Heard.
Yes. Every woman I know has turned on Amber Heard. Mm. Every woman I know. You know? So women, watch J-Lo and get your sisterhood beside you.
Yes. The next morning, would drop Pia to school and we left a bit early. So we were sitting outside the school and I was like, Pia, I'm going to put on a song for you here and you're going to love this song. And it was that one, the Shakira one. Wacka, wacka, wack. Ayo, da-da-da-da-da. Because I was like, Pia would love that song.
Yes.
Then me and Jamie, after watching it, went down a rabbit hole of Super Bowl performances.
Did
and
you?
And we're like watching loads of different ones. But like J-Lo and Shakira's was just iconic.
Iconic. And to watch her, watching her speak to her dancers. Oh. And the precision, the moves and what she's saying to the fellas. Stop watching yourself in the mirror, boys. It's not about your solo performance. You're part of a group. You watch the person beside you.
I've chills.
Like, she is a queen. And actually, a bit like many, many stories we're seeing now from the late 90s and the early noughties, where
yes,
it was just okay to slag women off. Britney. You know, and J-Lo got such a slagging.
Or even like brought out onto a talk show and asked about her ass.
Yes. Jesus. And South Park, like basically making her out to be some piece of shit. Like it is. And also, as she was saying, like she is a high profile female going out with high profile men. And for that, never P. Diddy, never Affleck, none of them got the slagging or the headline, the cruel headlines that she got all the way through. And she never gave up. She never let it in. And she also, did you see, it was interesting, interesting dynamic with her mother.
Yeah.
You have to watch it. I'm not going to say any more. If you haven't seen it already, get on Netflix and watch Halftime.
This season of Soul Sisters is brought to you with thanks to Colgate, who believe everyone deserves a future to smile about. Claire, what made you smile this week?
Well, I mentioned that I had lots and lots of delays in my travel this weekend. So I left Gatwick after being in the biggest queue I've ever seen to get into security and flew to Ireland to my retreat. So I don't know how it happened, right? But by some little miracle, I had queued up like everybody else in Gatwick. But as I came into security, there was a fast track lane. And the woman who was directing traffic assumed I was in the fast track lane. And so she sent me straight up the fast track lane. So everybody else came in and had to continue in the snake queue, and I got straight in. And I was surrounded by people who were so late for their flights. And so the guy in security was like, listen, I know you're in a rush. I know you're in a rush, but take out your liquids, take out your laptops. And so I was like, I'm going to go really slowly here because I can. So I was taking out my laptop and I was taking out my liquids and put, and he was looking at me like, this one's obviously just given up on her flight or she has a private jet to catch. And he looked at me and he was like, oh, did you spill Ribena? I was wearing a perfectly white T-shirt. And I looked down and I'd eaten a cherry. And I hadn't realized that it had like landed on my T-shirt just above my right boob. And probably had been there for the last hour. He was like, yeah, you spilled your Ribena. And I went, oh my God, I had no idea. And he was like, it's always the white T-shirts, isn't it? And the two of us had such a laugh. And it broke all of the tension for me. Everybody else around me was in hell. But I was happy.
And smiling.
And smiling.
Oh, as well as being the champions of optimism, Colgate provides many dental care products that have clinically proven benefits for you and your family, and they are available in all major Irish supermarkets and pharmacies. Now, I'll just mention really quickly, because we are in, do you know what? It's actually the 20th of June. I was like, we're in a new month and I didn't do it last week. It is the end of June, and I'm only talking about what's in season, but I'll do it really quickly. In season this month, we've got some cauliflower. Get your cauliflower steaks on the barbecue. Cabbage, if you want to make some homemade coleslaw.
Yes.
Broccoli, strawberries, mushrooms, tomato, cucumber, peppers, lettuce, all your beautiful salad foods. French beans, if you're having some fish. I love to have some French beans with it. Aubergines, we're going to move on from aubergines. And scallions, radish. So I just wanted to mention that's what's in season. If you go into the supermarket, have a little look around and see if you can eat in season food, which gives you the most nutrients.
I have been making the most glorious salads. I think I sent you some pictures of salads that I've been making in the last couple of weeks. And so it's really good to hear that all that stuff is in season because I can be lashing it in.
And don't forget to sprinkle the love on your salad.
Yes. Now, something I've been adding to my food of late because, hey, I'm into gut health, is fermented food. Have a blow there. Go on.
Oh.
Oh, Jesus.
Disgust myself.
Disgusting. So fermented food, and me choice is kimchi.
Oh, I struggle with kimchi.
Now, I also struggle with kimchi. Which will be very me now. I went down to my local fish shop a few years ago and I saw kimchi and I went, yeah, I'm the kind of person who eats kimchi. So I bought a few, I bought a jar and I had it and I was like, whoa. Like it's tough.
It's a bit slimy or something.
Yeah, and it can be quite like... Anyway, in my haste to be a good gut person, to have good guts, I bought two jars of it and they're in the fridge. So the other day I was thinking to myself, so what else can I do to improve my gut? Oh my God, we've got kimchi in there.
Is this the jar from a couple of years ago?
So... I had a look at it and I was like, oh, kimchi. Turned it around to 2021. Now, my question to you is, fermented food is going to be even more fermented.
Oh, God, no.
A year later, can I eat it?
You're asking the wrong person because I'm a freak about out of date things.
Oh, are you?
Yeah.
Why?
I just wouldn't enjoy it. I wouldn't enjoy it. Maybe if I didn't know.
Yeah.
And I'd just eat it. But if I knew and I was making the choice, I'm not going to be in the moment when I'm eating it.
You're not going to be mindfully eating it. You're going to be out of your mind eating it.
I take myself back to that fish shop if it's still there. and buy a new one.
It is. It is. The life of fish, it's called. It's lovely. It's
just the life of fish.
Yeah. It's nice. Just beside Cut the Mustard. It's beautiful. Okay. So you're saying maybe in this instance, fermented food should be in date.
Now, listen, there is bound to be a soul sister with the right answer. So maybe just hold off. The podcast is out tomorrow. See what responses you get back.
Okay. I'm braced for somebody with way more knowledge than I do to give me the science behind this and say, whatever you do, step away from the kimchi. But until then, I'll wait.
So can you walk to your fish shop? This is a shop in your village we haven't heard of before.
Yeah, babe. It's just up the road from Cut the Mustard, which, by the way, I've had to stop visiting.
Why?
I got some medical advice on what I should and should not be drinking.
Don't say you have to give up your coffees.
Caffeine!
Ah, stop.
They told me to stop drinking.
Who's they?
The medical profession. My GP said do not. They said she was trying to basically figure out what the pluses and minuses were in my diet. And she was like, would you drink much caffeine? And I was like, is this an opportunity to be very honest or very dishonest? And I was like, well, what would you say is a lot of coffee? She was like, well, three cups a day. I said, oh, no. No, I'd have like a cup a day, maybe two. She was like, well, just be very aware that caffeine is bad for a sensitive bladder. And I was like, well, I definitely don't want my bladder grumbling any more than it has been in the last few months.
So did you give it up?
Well, she said to me, look, I would recommend that you come off caffeine.
So you're left now with a dilemma. Do you listen to your GP or not?
So,
do you ever cry in the GP's office? I cry.
I felt like it. Yeah, I felt like it. I felt like saying to her, do you know that I've given up alcohol? And so I have nothing in my life other than a cup of coffee. But I didn't. Why would you now be shedding a tear in the GP's office, aside from the obvious?
I think I cry when people ask me if I'm okay, even if I am okay.
Oh, yes.
Do you?
Yes. Yes. So I did actually, when I was in the midst of this terrible physical ailment of mine, like a really peak UTI, I had a lovely doctor who I spoke to online, like we did a video call, and she was so kind that it made me cry.
Oh,
yeah.
See, that's the thing. When someone goes, are you okay? Even if I am absolutely fine, I'll cry. I don't know why. I don't know why it happens to me.
It's because I think they're touching your soul, because they're coming right in there and they're saying, you matter. And right now, I care if you're okay.
Mm.
You just don't hear that enough. You don't even
know.
You don't even give yourself that enough, you know?
Do you know what I was thinking about this weekend? When Martha Beck said on the Good Glow podcast, Oprah's life coach, when you think you're important, other people start to think you're important.
Yes.
That sentence has stayed with me because I think at the start of everything, when I just wanted to be healthier and happier and I started to do things for myself, the world started to respond to that.
Yes.
So when I was putting the good stuff in, the good stuff was happening externally.
Yes.
The world was responding, and that's when the magic happens.
That's exactly when the magic happens. And for those of us out there, and many, many soul sisters have got in touch with me on DMs talking about being a people pleaser, or talking about having friends who are very inconsistent with their friendship and the way that they treat them. This is the fundamentals of that. If you model to people how you want to be treated, i.e. put yourself at the top of your to-do list, and make decisions for you, people will respond to that because they'll go, okay, I can't take advantage of that person. I can't treat that person badly because that's the way they want to be treated.
Have you said I don't know to anybody since we decided we were going to do that more often?
Yes. Not only did I say I don't know, but I said no. So okay. I told you about Neil, my lovely London da, who picked me up from the airport last night and waited hours for me. Neil, you're a legend, like a legend. So Neil has a friend called Jackie. And this was maybe last week or the week before. Neil said to me, oh, do you want to go to Jackie's 60th? Jackie's 60th's happening soon. Do you want to go? And I did this, just putting a little bit of distance between me and the offer. And I said, no.
Big red buzzer.
And he was so shocked. He was so taken aback.
Did you just say no?
Yeah, it just hopped out of my mouth before I knew it. I just went, no. And he went, oh, okay, well, right, yeah, grand. Okay. And then we moved on.
Oh my God.
So I wouldn't recommend just the blunt no because there's a lot of...
I just said no and continued to look out the window. All right, love, you can get out and walk.
Exactly. Get yourself home from Gatwick. Yeah, I wouldn't recommend that. There's a couple of great lines that Martha Beck had some good lines. Let me check my diary. Not sure what I'm up to. Let me come back to you on that. Leave it with me. You know, all those great lines.
So in that moment, did you visualize yourself at that birthday party?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's not like I wouldn't have gone along and had a good time. But for the effort that I would have had to put into the whole experience,
yeah,
it would not have been worth it. I would have had 30 minutes of good times, but then I would have already got ready, got there, probably bought a gift and had to get myself home. And that would have been a burden for me.
On recommends this week. So I don't know what happened, but I totally missed the boat on that Zac Efron Down to Earth series he did on Netflix. Did you watch it?
Heard about it. Never watched it.
Yeah. First of all, Zac Efron. I love Zac Efron. There's just something so nice about him. So anyway, he goes on and he goes to all of these different countries. Did you ever watch like Anthony Bourdain's The Chef, and he went around to all the different countries and like tasted the food there?
I did, yes.
It's kind of like that, but it's about wellness. And in one of them, the one I think that you would love, Claire, is France, and it's about water. And they speak about basically in Paris, they give people like really good filtered water in the fountains all around the city. They've an app for it. People go, they've sparkling water ones. So when I go to Paris tomorrow, I'm going to go and find them, taste the water and tell you what it's like, because I only found out about this on Sunday.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So aside from that, that's the one on water that I think you'd really like. But he does one in Sardinia in the Blue Zone. And he goes, and you know, you guys will know that I absolutely love the Blue Zones and I'm fascinated by it, because the reason that I like the Blue Zone way in terms of wellness is because it's about balance.
Yeah.
You know, and in Sardinia, they eat low protein, high carb diet. They have wine at 5. Some of them are walking 13 miles a day.
Wow.
Which is a half a marathon.
Yeah.
So anyway, Zac Efron goes to Sardinia and learns all about it. They talk about cooking with love. They talk about all the amazing parts of wellness that I love. So the France one is about water. Sardinia is about the Blue Zones. And he's got loads more. And it's really interesting. I can see why it didn't become the number one trending TV show on Netflix, because it's very niche.
Yes.
But the bit in the France one about the water is just fascinating.
Oh, I'm definitely going to watch that. Thank you. And thank you, Zac Efron.
And one thing I heard on it last night that I wrote down, life is a gift and time is all we have.
Lovely.
There you go now.
Lovely. I'm going to hand my recommends over to Sharon, one of our soul sisters who got in touch with me on Insta.
And I thought there was a surprise guest coming on the line.
Sharon, come on in. Come on in, love. Yeah, no, come on in. Come on.
Where has Sharon been for the last hour?
Sharon's just been inside making porridge bread. So Sharon said to me, she loved one of our previous episodes. I think it was when we were talking about Suzanne Jackson and how Suzanne Jackson had said, you have to believe you deserve the life you want.
Yes.
She loved it so much that she decided that it was time to change her vision board, which is the wallpaper on her phone.
Ooh, interesting.
Yes. So her screensaver, she changes every few months to put something inspiring or something she wants to manifest on there. So whether it's a thing, a trip to Sardinia, or whether it's just an inspirational quote, that's where she puts it. And I thought to myself, clever, because I don't even want to know how many times a day I pick up that goddamn phone. Mm. But if there was something that I want to manifest or something inspirational on there, that would help.
That is very inspiring.
Isn't it?
Yes.
Go, Shaznay.
I have to say, I love that episode, Claire.
I liked it too. Really liked it.
Do you know what? There's just something about a little chat, like connection, that lifts your spirits. And we are recording this podcast early in the morning. And I'm going to go off now and I'm going to go outside and I'm going to get some fresh air. And I'm going to, you know, feel great about it.
Excellent. I'm going to get fully dressed because, full transparency, I'm wearing just me knickers and a top.
So why are you just in your knickers?
Because I'm getting ready for work. I'm pretty much ready for work. But I thought if I sat down in my work gear, I'd just crumple it.
Okay.
So knickers and a top. That's nice. What the soul sisters do, yeah?
So what's your journey to work going to consist of?
So I'm heading to a different bus stop today.
Oh, look at you go.
I know. Look at me go changing it up. I've got an app. My favorite app of all time is City Mapper. It's brilliant. I don't know if Dublin have it yet, but it's so handy for London. You just stick in where you're going to go, stick in the postcode, and it'll tell you, you know, five ways to get there. And I saw another bus stop and I went, that will take me to a different tube station in just the same amount of time. Why don't you give it a go? So that's going to be my little trip this week. And who knows, there might be a brand new train guy at the end of the line.
Once you don't forget to put on your trousers.
Yes, take my dignity with me to work, please. So listen, soul sisters, next week is episode 8 of the podcast.
Which is?
The last one of the series.
Oh my God.
God. There will be another series though. I promise you there will be another series coming up in the next couple of months. And if you want to get in touch with us, please do. I'd love to hear from you in the next couple of weeks at Claire Solon on Instagram. And we'll see you next week.
Thank you so much for tuning in to Soul Sisters today. Please leave us a review if you can. Share us in your WhatsApp groups. And we'll see you next week.